Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Gimel. We're learning today Leili Nishmas Erwin Luxemburg and also Marilyn Fuchs. All the Nishams we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Okay, we begin 5 lines in the bottom of Nun Beis Omud Beis with the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us if somebody does any one of the following things, so then there is going to have to be a payment for them. Now, all of these things are, we'll see in the Gemara, we called Hezek She'eno Nikar. It's a damage that was done, but it's not a recognizable damage. You'll see what I mean as we go through today's shir, but that's just a little bit of an intro to today's discussion. So the Mishnah starts and says, Hametame, if somebody goes and is Metame, his friend's Truma. So he takes the Truma and he is Metame it. Rashi says it could also be any other taharos that the person has. Let's use truma as a simple example. So if a person goes, Reuven goes, and is metame Shimon's truma, or he is midameya. That means he mixes the truma with chulin. And now it's not able to be eaten by a regular person. He didn't put in enough to be mevatalit. You're not allowed to be mevatalit anybody, lechatchila. But let's say he intentionally mixed the truma with chulin, and now it's a mixture called meduma of truma and chulin, a non-Kohen no longer can eat that. So he damaged it. He made it less valuable. He was metamiyit, he made it less valuable. Or he was midameyit, he made it a mixture, which is less valuable. So therefore, those are the damages. Or vahaminaseh. We'll have a machlok in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel, what exactly is menaseh. But we'll basically say right now, for simplistic sake, that he turned it into yayin nesach, which is also going to be something that either has no value or has very limited value. So the menaseh, the medameya, and the metame all did damage, but it's not something that's actually recognizable. It doesn't look any different. But it now is tame, or it's meduma, or it's nisach hayayin. It's yayin nesach. In all of these situations, the Mishnah tells us if he did this accidentally, b'shogeg, so then he's potter. He doesn't have to pay. He didn't do it intentionally, and it's hezek she'eino nikar, so therefore it's not considered something that you have to pay for. B'mezid, however, chayv. But if he did it intentionally, he did it deliberately, so then he would have to pay for the damage that he caused. The Gemara starts off and first asks, what exactly was menasech? Itmar, menasech. So what exactly is this menasech? So we have Rav and Shmuel. Rav amar menasech mamish, u'shmuel amar ma'ariv. Rav says that he actually made it into yayin nesach. He poured it for Avodah Zarah. He did a libation with this yayin, and therefore it now is usher as takrovis Avodah Zarah, yayin nesach. Shmuel said, no, he just mixed it with yayin nesach. And therefore, this wine now, which was previously kosher, has been mixed with yayin nesach, and therefore he was ma'arivit, and therefore it is aser also. Now, what's the difference between Rav and Shmuel? So, mandiyom ma'ariv, according to Shmuel, who said he just was ma'arivit, my time alor ma'menasech. Why didn't he like Rav's explanation that he actually was menasech? He actually poured it in front of the Avodah Zarah. Because Shmuel would say, Amaloch, if he was actually menasech the wine, menasech, come lemi the rabbi minay. He would be over the prohibition of Avodah Zarah. And we have a famous rule, kom le midirabim ineh. If a person did 2 isurim, one is a more capital crime, one a more serious avera, the other one is a financial obligation. So then the financial obligation is exempted because you're getting the more serious crime. I always like to use the example that if a person shoots somebody on Shabbos, let's say, and he tears their shirt, so he's chayev for murdering the guy on Shabbos, and he'd be also chayev for damaging the guy's shirt. So since he's chayev misa for killing the guy on Shabbos, so in addition to that, we don't make a financial penalty. It's kom le midirabmini. We only give him one punishment. He'll have the capital crime of misa, and therefore he will not have to pay the financial obligation. So too over here, he'll be chayev the capital crime of misa of Avodah Zarah wine. He goes and pours the wine for the Avodah Zarah. So he's chayev misa. So that's the capital crime, and therefore he's potter from the damages. And that's why Shmuel didn't say Rav's answer of menasech mamish. No, what does Rav say to that? The idach, Rav holds kira Rabbi Yirmiyah. He was like Rabbi Yirmiyah. What did Rabbi Yirmiyah say? Damar Rabbi Yirmiyah. Mishaz hagbah, as soon as he picked up the wine to be menasech it, at that point in time, he stole it. And therefore, at that point in time, he's chayev to go pay for the wine. And mischayev ben avsho, the only time, however, he has over the capital crime of libations for the Avodah Zarah, lo havi ad shas nisach, until he actually pours it. So here, it's not komli b'dirabini, because they don't occur at the same time. The geneva over here preceded the nisach, and therefore, there are 2 separate actions. One is the taking of the wine, for which he would be chayev for, and the other one is the Avodah Zarah that he did by pouring the wine for the Avodah Zarah. And that's a separate time, a separate entity. And therefore, Rav says there are 2 separate things over here. Shmuel didn't hold that way. Now, when Rav said, you're over for Menasech Mamish, why didn't he agree with Shmuel that it was Ma'ariv? So my time of law, Mamar Arev. So the Gemara tells us that Rav would say, Amalach, Rav would say, when you're ma'arid the wine and return to Nun Gimel and Aleph, when you mix this regular wine with the Yayin Nesach, Hainu Medameya. How is that any different than when you mix Truma with Chulin? It now has a mixture status. So Rav says, Menaseh can't be ma'arid because we already have Medameya, and therefore you wouldn't need to tell it to me twice. No, that's a very good point. Why did Shmuel say he needed it twice? V'idach, he says, Shmuel would hold kinasahu. Each time it's a knas that the rabbis instituted that you have to go and pay if you did this b'mezid. So a knas can't be learned one to the other. Umi knasah lo yafina. So you can't learn the knas for ma'arev from the knas from midameya and vice versa. No, ulman the olive knasah miknasah. Obviously, Rav says you can learn knas one from the other. That's why he didn't say menasich meant ma'arev. He could learn it out from Midameya. So that's, according to Rav, you can learn Knosso Miknosso. So then, Kol Hadi Nonali. So why did the Mishnah list three things? Why did the Mishnah have to tell us all three cases? If we can learn one from the other, so then he should have told me just Midameya, and I would know all the others. So Gemara says, no. According to Rav, it was still necessary to say all three. Tzricha. Because the E Tana Mitame, if you only wrote Mitame, you know what I would have said? E Truma, we're dealing with Truma. So Hava Amina Mishum de Kol Mavsi Lolagami. When you make Truma Tame, so then it's worthless. You can't essentially use it. Maybe you could burn it, but that's about it. So if you're going to make it Tame, you've essentially made it worthless. Mavsi Lolagami. And at least from a point of eating it, it absolutely can't be eaten. So it's 100% not able to be eaten. But the e metame chulin, if you were to go be metame somebody's chulin, so granted, it's tame now. However, it would be awesome. Mishum de also ligrom tum l'chulim sheretz Yisrael. This goes according to the opinion. It says you can't even make chulin tame in Eretz Yisrael. But it wouldn't be worthless in this situation. But it would be worth less. So therefore, that's why it had to tell me the case of metame. Now, avo medameya. But when you made something medameya, so guess what? I would say, since it's not worthless, he hasn't actually been over any Isser over here. He didn't make the Truma Tame, which is an Isser. He didn't make the Chulin Tame, which is a Dirabanan. So all he did was go and mix the Truma with Chulin. In that situation, he didn't actually do an Isser. A Kohen can eat the whole thing. So therefore, I might have said that there wouldn't be considered damage that he would have to pay for in that situation, Kamashful, and that's why that tell me Midameya. No, just tell me the medameya. The ashmina medameya, I would have said mishum de shriach, because that occurs on a regular basis. However, avo metame de lo shriach, to be metame something is not usual, and below, I would have said maybe in that situation, they didn't institute a knas. So therefore, bottom line is, it had to say both metame and medameya. No, if it told me those two, the ashmina only metame u medameya, mishum de lo kim le midarabamine, I would have said because there is no capital crime done at the same time, and that's why there is a knas over here. However, avu menasech the kim lemi the rabbi minei. When you do menasech, so then you're over simultaneously a capital crime of avodah zara. I would have said aim alav. Therefore, that's why you don't have to pay any monetary penalty. So therefore, kamash v'lon kid Rabbi Yirmiyah. He's telling us that the halach is like Rabbi Yirmiyah, that it's not kim lemi the rabbi minei. In this situation, it in fact is going to be a totally separate act of the Geneva when he picked it up, which is a separate than the libation, which he did a few seconds later, like Rabbi Yirmiyah had already explained. And therefore, that's why you need all three. Now the Gemara says, what about the following brisa that was said over in the name of the father Rabbi Yovin? Originally, the brisa only included hametame v'hamenasech as those things that you'd have to go and pay for if you did them amazing. However, Chazul Omar, subsequently the rabbis, they added to this brisa af hamidameya. They said, as well, if you did the midameya, you'd also be chayib. Now, kol hani lomeli. Once you tell me the first two, so I already know that that would include midameya, because I have mitame and minasech, so that would include midameya. So what's the chiddush by telling me the meya? So Gemara says, tzricha, again, all three are needed. The brisa had to add Chazul Omar after midameya for the following reasons. Because the e ashmina mitame, if you only taught me mitame, you know what I would have said? Mishum delo kim le midarabim mine. That's because mitame didn't have a simultaneous capital crime. Abu menasech, which has a simultaneous capital crime, the kim le midarabim mine, not like Rabbi Yirmiyah, aim alo. I would have said, in that situation, you don't pay the monetary penalty. Therefore, kamash v'lam, that you have to tell me menasech as well. V'yashmi menasech, you only told me menasech, mishum de kamash v'leligame. Because when you menasech, it's zero. It's totally lost. It has no value. Avol metame, the lo mitzvah v'leligame. But if something is tame, so it doesn't become totally worthless. Granted, truma that's tame is not allowed to be eaten, but he's allowed to go and feed it to his animals. He's allowed to go use it for firewood. He's allowed to go and burn it and get benefit from the burning of it for heat or for cooking. So therefore, there is some value to it. So therefore, I would have said aim low. In that situation, the rabbis did not decree a knas. Oh, kamash v'lo, they decreed a knas. And if you told me just those two, if you told me mitame yeminasech v'yashminun hanitarte, you know what I said, mishum dehef simruba, because they're both a big financial loss. Making the truma tame or making the yayin into yayin esach, that is a huge financial loss. However, avu medameya dehef simruba, but making something meduma, so kohanim can eat it. So, okay, it would be worth a little bit less, but it's still worth quite a bit. And therefore, it's only a hefsid mua. So therefore, I would have said, in that situation, the rabbis didn't make a knas. That's why the brides had to say all three. Matami menasech, echoz uomar, af hamidameya. Now, we're now going to have a machlok between Chizki and Rav Yochanan as to this concept of Hezek, Sheino Nikar, what is its status? Is it Chayiv Midaraisa, or is the Beis Din that it's part of Midaraisa, and then the rabbis added additional statements or additional dinim over here that will now be explored? So first we have Chizki's opinion. Omer Chizki. Chizki says, Mina Torah, Devar Torah, Midaraisa, Echad Shogi, Echad Beis, Yechayiv, if you did, Hezek, Sheino Nikar. Because, my time, what's the reasoning? Hezek, Sheino Nikar, Shmei Hezek. It is called damage. It's unrecognizable damage, but the key word there is damage. So it's not recognizable. You're right. If you look at it, something that's Tomei, something that's Meduma, something that has had undergone Nisuch for the Avodah Zarah, physically it looks exactly the same. So it's a Hezek She'enu Nikar. It's not something that can be recognized as being damaged. Nevertheless, Shmei Hezek. Chizki says, Midaraisa. This is considered Nezek. And therefore, whether you did it B'shogeg or B'mezid, you should be chayiv to pay. You damaged your friend, Adam Muadli Olam, and therefore you did damage to your friend, Midya Raisa Min HaTorah, you have to pay. Now, Ma Tam Omru B'Shogi Potter, so we understand now why, if you did it B'mezit, you certainly have to pay, because that's a Din D'Raisa. So why, however, if you did it B'Shogi, did our Mishnah say that you don't have to pay? So the Gemara answers, Ma Tam Omru Kishogi Potter, Kideshio Dio, to facilitate this person telling the friend, sorry, I was menasek your wine, I, by accident, was medameyed, I was by accident, metameyed, and therefore, he won't be afraid to go and tell him, because if you make him pay, so then he's going to say, I'm not going to tell him. So once you exempt him from having to pay, he'll tell the truth. He said, listen, by accident, that was metame, your product, and therefore, I just want you to know, so you shouldn't go and eat this truma when it's tome, because that's an isser. So therefore, I don't want you to be over the isser, so I'm letting you know that by accident, I was metameyed. So then, even if he did it intentionally, we should exempt him from having to pay. Midrabbanan, we should say, okay, under the Raisa love, you have to pay, but midrabbanan, we don't want you to pay. Because if you don't have to pay, then you'll be quick to tell him. The mezid, you should also not have to pay in order kideshi odio. Why is only bishogi? Should be mezid as well. Shmuel says, no. Hashto liyazuke komechavein. So this guy intentionally damaged his friend. He wanted Shimon to know, I was mitame, all your truma. Ha! So he wants him to know. So it doesn't benefit him. He's not getting back at Shimon unless he tells him he was metameyed. If he was metameyed and nobody knows, so then how did he hurt Shimon? Shimon will eat it and not realize that it was tame. So he obviously wants to hurt Shimon, and he obviously therefore is going to tell Shimon. So in this situation, we don't have to worry about kidei shiodio. So therefore, the base din, according to Chizkiah, is that hezek, she'enu nikar, heavy hezek, applies certainly even now to a mezid. And it should, midaraisa, apply to a shogi, but because of kidei shiodio, we're afraid that if you make him pay, the person who inadvertently goes as matame, menasek, medame, his friend's stuff, won't go and tell him. So therefore, kidei shiodio, we say you don't have to pay. Oh, that's Chizkiah's shita, that hezek, she'enu nikar, shmei hezek, is in fact hezek, midaraisa, and we let the din stay for mezid, but we, because of kidei shiodio, we change the din from having to pay b'shogi to not having to pay. That's Chizkiah. Rav Yochanan disagrees, the exact opposite. Rav Yochanan Amar, Tevar Torah, Echad Shogeg, Echad Mezid, Potter. In fact, Hezek Sheino Nikar, you don't have to pay Min HaTorah, whether Shogeg or even Mezid. Why, my time up? Because Hezek Sheino Nikar, Lo Shmei Hezek, because it doesn't have the static of damage. It's not recognizable. So the key word, according to Rav Yochanan, is not recognized damage. You didn't do anything that we can see. And therefore, midoraisa, you don't have to pay, whether it's b'meizah or v'shogeg. Why did the rabbi say, umatam amru b'meizah chayev? They left the basic din that v'shogeg, you don't have to pay. But why did they change it and say you have to pay if you did it b'meizah? That's not the din d'oraisa. Why did the rabbis make it that you have to? So this is a gzeira, a takana, shaloye kolecha v'yechad, holech mutami taroso shechavero, to go prevent people from going and damaging their friends. I don't like Shimon, so I'm going to go to Shimon's truma and make it tame and say, ha ha ha, v'omer potter ani. I did it, and I'm potter because it's hezek sheno nikra, and midoraisa, I'm potter. So therefore, the rabbi said, no, midorabanu, we're going to make you chayiv in order to prevent this from happening. So we have this machlokis, Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan. We're going to spend a lot of time trying to disprove Chizkiah. And in fact, the reason why I'm spending so much time is because the halacha is like Rav Yochanan, and we're going to try to disprove Chizkiah. Albeit, we'll see ultimately that this machlokis of Amoraim between Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan is actually a machlokis Tanoim as well. In any event, first we learned in the following Mishnah, which we'll learn in tomorrow's Shir. Tanan, we're going to have in tomorrow's Shir, HaKoanim Shepiglu B'Mikdash. Pigul is something when a person is doing the avodah. He's a Kohen and he's doing the avodah, or technically a non-Kohen is allowed to do the Shechita. The same thing applies by the Shechita, although it usually was done by a Kohen. So while he's doing the Shechita, or while he's doing the other parts of the avodah, such as the Kabbalah, or the Holacha, or the Zrika, so when he's doing any of these four avodahs, he has in mind a Machshava, a thought, to go and do something, such as eat it, or to do the Zrika, chutz mizmano, outside the proper time to do this. And that's called the pigul machshava, and that ruins the carbon, it's mafagel the carbon, and therefore that carbon no longer is going to fulfill the obligation of the person who brought it, because the kohen was mafagel it. So, hakohanim shepiglu b'mikdash, if a kohen did a pigul machshava, chutz lizmano machshava, in the base of Mikdash, for somebody else's carbon, so if he did it b'meizid mizidin, the Mishnah will tell us, chayavim, he has to pay, he caused him damage. I v'toni Allah, and it says, however, this was only mipnei tikkun olam. This was midirabana that he has to pay, implying midaraisa he doesn't have to pay because it's hezek she'eno nikar lav shmei hezek. Exactly like Rav Yochanan, going to be a kasha on Chizkiah. And that's what the Gemara now says. V'yamris hezek she'eno nikar shmei hezek. If you hold the Chizkiah that this is damage, so then why did it say mipnei tikkun olam? Was that what it would have said? No, it should have said over here that in fact, that it is chayav to pay because that's the din deraisa. It would not have said because of tikkun olam. Therefore, Chizkiah is wrong. Where says lav davcha? What would Chizkiah say? Hachanami kamer. This is how Chizkiah would read the braisa. Mezidin chayavim. Again, because that's the basic din. However, hashogegin p'turim. But if you did it b'shogeg, you're potter. Why mipnei tikkun olam? That's because we want to make sure that the kohen isn't embarrassed or afraid to say, I was mafagalit. I thought that this was, let's say a carbon shlomo could be eaten tomorrow, but it really was a carbon chatas, so it can only be eaten today. So I had a pigul machshava on it, I ruined it, and therefore, in order to facilitate me telling you, so you know that you have to bring a new carbon to fulfill your obligation, I don't have to pay for it. That's the tikkun olam. So therefore, it's no raya against Chizkiah. Try again. Masa Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Lazar says from the following braisa. Ha'osim melacha b'mechatas u'beparas chatas. If a person does melacha with the water of the chatas, in other words, the paraduma that was ashes that were added to water, the spring water that was brought to add to the ashes of the paraduma, so you can sprinkle on a person, do the hazos on shlishi and shvi to make a person tar from tumas meis. So if you did melacha with this, it's no good. This water cannot even have had melacha done with it. So if you do the mechatas, the water that has the ashes of the paraduma in it, or the paras chatas, or the ashes of the paraduma itself, or the cow itself, so in all of these situations, you are not allowed to do any melacha, and in fact, you will ruin it. You'll ruin this mechatas, you'll ruin the paraduma, you won't be able to use it for the purposes that it's intended for. So if a person did this to someone else's mechatas or parashatas, so part of Medina Adam, he wouldn't be chayiv in Dine Adam, because it's Hezek She'eno Nikar, and Lav Shmei Hezek, and therefore, v'chayiv Dine Shemayim. So therefore, this is another raya to Rav Yochanan, Akasha on Chizkiah. Because the Gemara says, "V'yamris hezek she'enu nikar shmei hezek," so then b'dini yodim nami l'chayiv, then he should be chayiv in dini mamonos as well, because he damaged somebody else. And if it's hezek she'enu nikar is hezek, like Chizkiah said, he should be chayiv. But this Brisa says he's not chayiv, so therefore it's a raya to Rabbi Yochanan, another kasha on Chizkiah. So this question was asked by Rabbi Elazar, who most of law, he was the one that asked it. He himself gave the teretz. He says as follows. By the paraduma, you know what the work that he did that ruined it is shechnisa l'rivka. He brought it into the barn. Now, he brought it into the barn for the express purpose, amanas shetino, that it should go and suckle. However, he also had in mind the tadush, that while it was there, it would go step on the grain and thresh the grain that was there. So even though the animal was brought in to suckle, but since it also did tidos, that is in fact a reason why it is no longer good. It had malacha done with it. Now, Rashi explains, in the Ramaskal for tidos, he says, it was going and threshing betvua im hashar the tashlumim leka amaisi yodov. Now, you don't have to pay in this situation because you didn't do anything. Because the amal letova hechnisia shetinak, he brought the animal in to go and suckle from the mother. There's no issur in that. Upsula lo hevi ela machmas machshavto. The only reason now the paraduma is no good as a paraduma because of his thoughts. Sheniskavin avshetidosh. He had in mind that the animal would also go and thresh, and therefore that's a hezek sheino nikar. The geroma b'nizokim potter. In this situation, he would be potter for the financial damages. The amachshava lo mechayvin alei the psula machmas machshava. The only reason it's possible is a machshava, and therefore in this situation, he wouldn't be chayv to pay, even though he ruined it. His machshava ruins it, but this is not an action, and this is hezek she'eino nikar in this situation without any sort of an action, and therefore that is why Rabbi Elazar said that he wouldn't have to pay, even according to Chizkia. Likewise with the mechatas, he didn't do any actual avoda with it itself, and therefore, it's only his machshava. What did he do here? Sheshaka ben mishkalos. He put the water of the mechatas on one side of the balance scale, and then he weighed meat or something else on the other side of the balance scale. And therefore, the water wasn't actually used, but his machshava is what ruins it, and therefore, this machshava is not going to make him liable, even according to Chizkiah. And therefore, there's no kasha on Chizkiah. More questions, this, however. It says, V'amar Rava. Rava says, and we turn to Nogimul Amud Beis, Mechatas, we turn to Nogimul Amud Beis, Sheshaka ben Mishkalos Ksheira. He says, wait a second, how can you say that this would ruin the Mechatas? Rava says, that's not true. If you go and use the Mechatas on one side of the balance scale and weigh out against meat on the other side, that doesn't ruin it. That's not considered Avoda. So therefore, that can't be what the Bryce is talking about. So you're right. So Gemara says, Lo Kasha, how do we go and explain the difference? So Ha Begufan, where Rabbi Elazar said that in that, in fact, situation, the water is going to ruin, not be allowed to be used as mechatos. That's when he actually weighed the item by putting it into the water. As Rashi explains, using Archimedes' principle of displacement. So Rashi explains in Dibra Maskul, the Rava Bechinegdon. So he says, in the second line of that Dibra Maskel, Sheyesh Lem Kli, Sheyesh Bo Shinosos. They had a, what we would call a graded cylinder. So it has markings on the cylinder. And you know that if you go up by, let's say, one marking or two markings or three markings, it's a certain amount of weight that is going to displace the water to rise up that much. And that's how much of meat you put in. You raise it one marking, it's a pound. You raise it two markings, it's 2 pounds. You raise it three markings, it's 3 pounds. It's called a graded cylinder. And therefore, v'nosdin mayim barishoni, you first put in water, and then v'nosdin basur b'mayim, acha mayim olim l'rosh ha'masheni. And when you put in enough meat that it rises to the next gradation on the cylinder, so you know that's a certain amount of weight of meat. The kavinuhu kvar should be mishka litra obeys litros hamayim olim. And you know from previous experience that when it rises up to one marking above the original marking or two markings above, that's a certain amount of weight of meat. Umagin lo sarosha. When it reaches that rosha, you know you now measured out the weight. So in that situation, it's actually osur, and therefore it would be no longer good. But if you put it on the balance scale, habichinegdon, so you just put it on the balance scale, you didn't actually use the water. And therefore, in that situation, it would not be usur. So therefore, there's no stira over here. More questions, this says, really? If you put it in the water, of course it's usur. Begufan? So, maisakovid, but you used the water. You actually used it with your hands. And therefore, the e hezek, sheno niko shme hezek, b'din adam nami l'chayev. In that situation, if you're telling me like Chizkia, that hezek, sheno niko shme hezek, well here, he actually did something with his hands. It's not just machshava. So in the other cases, we said it's machshava. That's why you're not chayev. But here, he actually did a maisa with the water by placing the meat in the water. So, of course he would be chayev according to Chizkia. And we're back to our stage one question against Chizkia. You see from here that it's obviously hezek she'eno nikar, it's lav shmei hezek, because we said that he's potter. So Gemara says, Eli, you're right. Edi v'idi b'chenegdan. Both the case of the Braisa and the example that Rava gave are both talking about we use the water on a balance scale. Not that he actually put the meat into the water to displace it by Archimedes' principle. V'lo kasha. So why is it no kasha? Why is one case it's also one case it's mutter still? Because hoda asachtaite, hoda lo asachtaite. The difference is that he have his mind on the mechatas. There's another rule that the mechatas becomes puzzled if you had hesech hadas, if you weren't thinking about it. So in the case where we said that it's ruined, it's no good, so that's because he had hesech hadas. That's why it's no good. And in the case where it's okay, that's because he didn't have hesech hadas. So therefore, it's no kashi yet against Chizkiyah. Try again. Masi Rapapa. Rapapa brings down the following brisa. It says, Gozal matbeya v'nifsal. If a person stole a coin, and then that coin is no longer in circulation anymore. The government took it out of circulation. So that coin now is essentially worthless. You know, sometimes they'll put out a coin and they'll say, you know, we've stopped using this coin. You have a month, a year, whatever period of time to go return all those coins. After that, they're worthless. So, gozal matbeya v'nifsal. Somebody stole a coin, but now that coin is no longer in circulation. So it's worthless. That coin that he stole has actually gone down from whatever it was worth to zero. Or truma v'nitmas. If you stole somebody's truma and you made it tame. So it's essentially worthless. It's very, very minimal value as truma that you can burn, let's say, for firewood or for heat. Or you took somebody's chametz, and then the arvel of a Pesach. And now you had it in your possession, you didn't sell it to a guy, and it's in your possession during Pesach. And therefore, it's usur to have any hanor from it, mid the rabbanon. So chametz, arvel of a Pesach, so in these situations, the guy wants to do tshuva, and he wants to return the item. So he wants to return the coin that he stole, but it's now worthless. He wants to return the truma that is now tmeya, but it's really worthless. He wants to return the chametz, but it's worthless because it's also bana. So omelo, the ganav has the right to say to the person that he stole either the coin from, or the truma from, or the chametz from, and says, Hare shalach lefonecha. Here, Makayim the mitzvah of Hashav Tishivenu Lo, that you have to go and Hashav is Hagzela, you have to go give it back to the person, and here I'm giving it back to you, and I'm now off scot free. Hare Shaloch Lufanecha. Now, that works out great according to Rav Yochanan. The Yarmer says, but if you hold like Chizkiyah, that's still damage, so then why are you saying that he's off scot free and he doesn't have to do anything? No, I got to know. He, in fact, stole the coin because it's now worthless. So he stole when he stole it was $5. Now it's worth zero. So he still has to pay back $5. He stole the truma and made it tame. So truma is worth $10 when it was tar. Now it's worth 50 cents when it's tame. He has to pay him back to $9.50. And he stole the chametz worth $10 and now it's worth zero. He has to pay him $10. So how can Chizkiyah say in this situation that hezek she'eino nikar? Have a nezek because shmei nezek because in this situation clearly this price says it's not hezek and therefore tiyufta the Chizkiyah tiyufta. So we've slugged up Chizkiyah. However, the Gemara wants to suggest, yes, this Brisa has shlugged up Chizkiyah, but if Chizkiyah has a different Brisa, a Tana, that holds like him, so then he's not shlugged up. It's just a Machlokas Tanoim. And therefore, that's what the Gemara now wants to suggest. This Machlokas between Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan, as I said before, is not only a Machlokas Amarayim, it's also a Machlokas Tanoim. Let us say it's a Machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, Leimur Kitanoi. Because the Brisa says, Hametamei, Vahamedameya, Vahamenasech, this Brisa also talks about a person that made something tummy. Or he made something meduma, or he was menasech the wine, and the Braisa says echad shogeg echad meizu chayev. Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says if you did this intentionally, you're going to be chayev. Now, Rav Yehuda Omer, no, if you did it intentionally, you're chayev, but bishogeg potur bemezid chayev. Only if you did it bemezid are you chayev. Now, what are Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir argue about? No, let us say it's a machlokes of Chizkiyah and Rav Yochanan. My labo hokam ifli, aren't they arguing about that same machlokes? The Maris of our Rav Meir holds hezek she'eno nikar, shmei hezek, just like Chizkiyah. And therefore, you have to go pay for the damages, whether you did it intentionally or even bishogeg. Echa shogeg, echa bezid, chayev. Rav Meir holds like Chizkiyah. And Marsavar Rabbi Yehuda the Tana holds exactly the way Rabbi Yochanan the Amora holds because Hezek Sheinu Nikar Lo Shmei Hezek it's not considered Hezek and therefore Mid the Rabbanan the Rabbi said we don't want you to go and be Metame other people's stuff to go and do damage so Mid the Rabbanan we make you pay if it's Bemezid but the default is that it's not Chayev because it's not considered real damage and therefore Bishoge we leave the din as it is Lav Shmei Hezek. Only Bemezid do we say, to prevent people from going damaging other people, neither Rabbanan, we make you have to pay. So let us say that this machlokas between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda parallels the Amoraic machlokes between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Meir holds like Chizkiah, and Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Yochanan. So Amar Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, not necessarily so. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak says no. In fact, the Kulei Amar, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, in fact, both hold like Rabbi Yochanan. Hezek Sheinu Nikra Lo Shmei Hezek. It's not Hezek. Aye. Then why did Rabbi Meir say that you have to pay b'shogeg? V'hocha b'knaso. Shogeg to mezid come if they're arguing about. Everybody agrees the mezid we made a knas because they both hold that it's not considered hezek and therefore midaraisa you shouldn't have to pay b'shogeg or b'mezid. And everybody agrees that the rabbis made a gzera that b'mezid you have to pay. The question is, do they also say shogeg to mezid? If we don't make the gzera by shogeg, then people won't necessarily be careful about b'mezid. So Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir arguing about this idea, but Konsu Shogi got to Mezid come Miflege. The Maris of Rav Meir holds that Konsu Shogi got to Mezid because we want the Mezid to have real teeth. So he said, even Bishogi you have to pay. Certainly then Bemezid you'll pay. Whereas Rav Yehuda holds with Maris of low Konsu Shogi got to Mezid. No, the basic thing is that you don't have to pay. So the rabbis only instituted that you have to pay if you didn't Bemezid. But they didn't feel that that's necessary to go make it Bishogi or to Mezid. So that's what Rav Nachman Yitzchak says is the machlokes of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, and it's lav dafka that it's totally on the machlokes Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan. Okay, now the Gemara says we seem to have a stira for what we just said now, that Rav Meir definitely is kones shogeg otu mezid, and Rav Yehuda is not. So Rami the Rav Meir, the Rav Meir, the Rami the Rav Yehuda, the Rav Yehuda. We seem to have a contradiction, a stira between the shittas of Rav Meir here and elsewhere, and between Rav Yehuda here and elsewhere. What is that? The tani, because we're in another brisa in regards to Hilchos Shabbos. I'm a vassal of Shabbos. If somebody cooks something on Shabbos, you know, of course you're not allowed to do that. Now, if he did it b'shogeg, he didn't realize the Shabbos, he didn't realize this is called cooking, so then the Tanakama, which is Rav Meir, holds b'shogeg yochal. You are allowed to go and eat it. Everybody else certainly can go and eat it, but even you, the guy who did it b'shogeg, is allowed to eat it because you didn't do it on purpose. And the din is, we don't counsel you in that situation or to maze it. B'mezid lo yochal, but b'mezid, we don't let you eat it because there's a knas over there. So the kasha is going to be, Rav Meir over here says, we're not kansa shogeg otu mezid, and in the case that we just brought down with the hezek sheinu nikar, so we were kones shogeg otu mezid according to Rav Meir. So that's going to be the stira of Meir, the Rav Meir. Likewise, that was different Rav Meir. Likewise, Yudo Meir b'shogeg yochal imotzi Shabbos. We only let you eat it b'shogeg after Shabbos is over. B'mezid lo yochal b'olamis, and b'mezid, we never let you eat it at all. So you see clearly that Yehuda is kones shogeg otu mezid. But in the price of hezek, shein nikar, eino hezek, but the rabbis made gzeira, Yehuda said they only made the gzeira for mezid. Lo konsu shogeg otu mezid. So stira, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Meir, Rav Meir. By the way, there's a third sheet over here, Rav Yochanan Sandler Omer, so we'll just complete that to the completion of the price statement. That has nothing to do with our question. Rav Yochanan Sandler Omer, B'shogeg Yochel Emotzi Shabbos Li'acherim V'lo, that the rabbi said that after Shabbos is over, we'll let other people go and eat it, but never the person who did it, even though he did it by accident, he can never eat it. But B'mezid Lo Yochel Lomis, nobody can ever eat it even after Shabbos is over. Lo V'lo Li'acherim, nobody can ever eat it. No. That's Rav Yochanan Sandler Shita. That's not our interest right now. The bottom line is, Kasha the Rav Meir, the Rav Meir, and Kasha the Rav Yehuda, the Rav Yehuda. As I just pointed out, we seem to have a stira between the Hilchos Shabbos Braisa and the Raisa about Hezek Sheinu Nikra, Lo Shmei Hezek, and the rabbis made a knas for Mezid, and did they or did they not made a knas, Shogeg to Mezid. There Rav Meir said yes, Rav Yehuda said no, and here in Hilchos Shabbos, Rav Meir said no, and Rav Yehuda said yes. So how do we reconcile that? So the one says, the Rav Meir, Lo Kasha, that the stira between Rav Meir, who's making a knas, shogeg otu mezid, behezek, but doesn't make it in regards to Hilchos Shabbos. You know why? Because ki kanis, when did Rav Meir make a knas, only be the Rabbanon, such as the hezek, sheino nikar. So in that situation, it's only knas mi the Rabbanon. And therefore, the rabbis went and said, in this situation, we're going to put some teeth into it because it's only din the Rabbanon, and people are going to make it in din the Rabbanon. So therefore, we made a knas. But in din d'oraisa, like cooking on Shabbos, lo karnis. No need to make a knas. People take Shabbos very, very seriously, and you don't have to add any teeth to it over here. They'll be very careful anyway. So therefore, we can understand why Rav Meir in Hilchos Shabbos doesn't make a knas, shogeg otu mezid, but in Hilchos Nezek, he does, because it's one's a d'rabbanan, and Shabbos is d'oraisa. Ayur says, wait a second, by Nisach HaYayin, that's a din daraisa. And yet, in the first price that we brought down, because Karnis Rebbeir did make a knas, shogeg otu mezid. So Ayur says, no. that was a special, unique situation. Mishum chumra, the avodas kochavim, because that was dealing with avodas zarah. If nisa chayayin, konasle, in that situation, even though it's a din daraisa, which he normally doesn't make a knas, shol yotu mezid, here he did because of the strictness, the severity of the din of avodas zarah. So that explains Rav Meir, either Rav Meir, lo kasha. And nu, the Rav Yehuda, also, nami lo kasha, is also not kasha. Why not? Because ki lo konis, when Rav Meir did not make a knas shogi or to mezid, that's by din the Rabbanan. Because it's not such an important thing. It's, quote, only a Rabbanan, and therefore relatively minor transgression compared to a daraisa. And the rabbis didn't feel it's necessary to make a knas shogi or to mezid. Because worse comes to worse. If you're over the mezid, it's only, quote, a Rabbanan. But b'daraisa, b'hilchos Shabbos, whoa, that's a din daraisa. So the rabbi said, konis shogeg otu mezid. Adi Gemara says, well, menasev daraisa v'lo konis. But wait a second, menasev is also din daraisa. And yet, in the first braisa review, that says we don't make a knas shogeg otu mezid. So how come if it's a daraisa that in that situation we don't make a knas? You're telling me we do make a knas by daraisa? So the Gemara says, mishum chumra devoros kochavim, the exact opposite of what we said before. Since this is about a zara, we are so careful with nisa chayayin that we don't have to make a zera shogeg or to mezid. Okay, so we reconciled Remeir the Remeir, and we reconciled Rehuda the Rehuda. But Gemara still says, wait a second, Verami the Rabbi Meir the Remeir b'daraisa. We can still find the stira in Rav Meir because the Tanya says the following braisa that hanotea b'shabbos, if somebody plants something on Shabbos, which of course is not allowed, so b'shogeg yikayim, if it was planted by accident, so then you don't have to uproot the tree. You can let it live. Amazing, but if you planted it on purpose, he says, I know it's Shabbos, I'm planting anyway, so then you got to uproot the tree, yakar. Now, that's by Hilchos Shabbos, ubishviyas, but in the Shemitah year, where you're also not allowed to plant, just like on Shabbos, albeit for different reasons, so bein bishogi, bein bimezi, yakar. Here, the Rameya says that by Shemitah, which is a din daraisa, so we do make exera shogeg or to mezid. By Shabbos, we don't make exera shogeg or to mezid. So that will be an internal question that we'll ask in a moment. What's the difference between Shemitah and Shabbos? So we'll get to that in a moment. For now, we see that we're Rami, the Rameir. We see over here, in regards to a din daraisa, we are gozer shogeg or to mezid, but this is a din daraisa, and before we said, b'daraisa lo konis Rameir. So that's going to be the kasha, Rameya, the Rameya. But let's finish the braisa. Ryudo mer bishviyas, bishogeg yikayim, bimezid yakar. Ryudo had the opposite. He said, in Shemitah year, only bishogeg, bimezid rather, you have to uproot it, but bishogeg can leave it. And it's by Shabbos, with Shabbos, bishogeg, bimezid yakar. So he's the exact opposite of Rameya. No, the bottom line is that this is a kasha on Rameya, because here he says that we do make a knas, shogeg otu mezid by din daraisa, in Hilchos Shabbos, but here we don't. So it's a kasha, Rameir, other Rameir. So we'll answer that in a moment. But first, the Gemara says, Ul Taimech, according to what we just said, the Machlokas of here, Rameir, Ryuda, Shabbos versus Shemitah, doesn't make any sense. It's internally contradictory. Because Tikshel Chohi Gufa, in and of itself, they're both dinim deraisa, Shabbos and Shemitah, they both should be the same thing. Either you go there, show you got mezid by both, or you're not goes there, show you got the mezid by either. So how come we split it? Rameir said that in regards to Shabbos, we are b'shogi yikayim b'mezi yakar. In regards to Shemitah, we're b'en shogi b'mezi yakar. And review says the exact opposite. It's internally contradictory. Tik shalach lach hi gufa. Now, let's check it out. Michtei. Ha daraisa, that both Shabbos and Shemitah daraisa. So ha daraisa, and ha daraisa, the ha daraisa, and nevertheless, the din is the same. So Maisha Shabbos, Maisha Shviyas. Why does Rameir make a distinction? That by Shabbos, he says, Bishogi Gikayim, Bemezid Yakar. And by Shemitah, he says, Bein Bishogi, Bein Bemezid Yakar. Ah, what must you say? Elohosom, Kidiktani Taima. There must be another reason, as we learned over there. Amr Rameir said, Mipneima Ani Omer Bishabbos, Bishogi Gikayim, Bemezid Yakar. Why is Shabbos different than Shemitah? Because, Ubishviyas, I said, Bein Bishogi, Bemezid Yakar. Because, Mipneishi Yisrael Monim Lishviyas. Because people are always counting the Shemitah year, and they'll know exactly when the Shemitah year is. And therefore, they'll know that this tree was planted in the Shemitah year. And they'll say, therefore, it must be mutter to plant in the Shemitah year. That's why the rabbis have to be gozer, shogeg otu mezig in regards to Shemitah. But in regards to Hilchos Shabbos, We turn to Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. They monin l'shabbosos. Nobody counts the planting from Shabbos. So therefore, even b'shogeg, nobody's going to realize that this was planted on Shabbos, and it won't lead to a takala. And therefore, by Shabbos, he wasn't gozer. Shogeg got to meza. By Shemitah, what people will know, this tree was planted in the Shemitah year. So therefore, we have to be gozer. Shogeg got to meza. So that's why intrinsically, there's no stira over here with Rav Meir. Now, in addition, he says dover acher. There's another reason you could say as well. Because actually, Yisrael HaShviyas will actually HaShabbosos. People were suspect, unfortunately, as to whether they kept the din of Shemitah. So therefore, they had to be more strict. And by Shemitah, they were gozer, shogi gotu mezit. As opposed to, by Shabbos is Shabbos. So alone actually HaShabbosos. People weren't suspect that they didn't observe Shabbos. And therefore, if somebody did something accidentally on Shabbos, no reason to make a gzeirah. No, why did you have to tell me the second reason? What was one of the first reason? My davar acher, why did you tell me the second reason? So Hachi Kamer, this is what he's telling us. V'chi teima, if you're going to tell me Shabbos Nami, that sometimes by Shabbos also, Zimnim, sometimes the Mikla Yom Lamed b'Shabbos, you know what? They're going to plant on Rosh Chodesh Elul. And then 30 days later, it's going to be Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah. And they'll realize, Di nota hau yoma, hu desolko le'ishata, that if it was planted for 30 days, so then it counts already as year one. And now when Rosh Hashanah comes, it'll be year two in terms of deciding, is this Arla, is this not Arla, is this Net Teravai, etc. So therefore, it's very important to know that it was planted 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. And now they'll see when Rosh Hashanah is, and they'll say 30 days before, and hey, that was Shabbos. And if this is 30 days old, it must have been planted on Shabbos. So Zimnim the Mikla Yom Lamed b'Shabbos, they'll see that 30 days before was Shabbos, and therefore they'll say, Di not ha yoma hu desokalei shata. So it was planted on that day, it counts as a full year. Below, then it doesn't count as a full year, and therefore, lo sokalei shata. So therefore, it won't be counted as a full year, and therefore, they will know that it was planted on Shabbos. And therefore, maybe you'd say in that situation, you have to make gzeira, shogi got to mezev, even by Shabbos, not only by Shemitah. So that's why you have to tell us the dover acher. Toshma, dover acher, give us the second reason. That nechshedu Yisrael HaShviyas, or nechshedu HaShabbosos. The Rebbeir held that the people were suspected of not keeping the Shemitah. That's why they had to be gozer, shogi got to mezev. But by Shabbos, they all kept it, so therefore they didn't have to be gozer, shogi got to mezev. So we've resolved the stira in Rav Meir. Now we finally have to conclude the shiur with this resolving the last stira. Rabbi Yehuda, also Lokasha, because Biasrei, the Rabbi Yehuda, in the shtot of Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda was the Rav over that area, Chamira Lushvias, they took Shemitah very seriously, and therefore you didn't have to make Gzeira from Shogeg or Tumeze by Shemitah. But the people were not so careful about Shabbos, and therefore he said you have to make Gzeira Shogeg or Tumeze by Shabbos. And I'll show you that this is right, because Dahu, there once was a person, the Amalei Lechaver, was said to his friend, and they were having a fight with each other, so these two people were ranking each other out. And one person said to the other, oh yeah, you think you're so good, you're Dayor Bar Dayarto, oh, I'm going to rank you out by calling you a Ger who's the son of a Giorit. So that was like the biggest diss he could give him. And what's the other person going to respond? Oh, Malay, the other person going to respond to him. Oh, I know, lo achle peri the shviyas kabal sefer. Well, I may be a ger bar giar dearta. I might be a ger, the son of a giore, but at least I don't eat peri shviyas. And therefore, you eat peri shviyas. So, therefore, you see from here that in the shtot of Rabbi Yehuda, they were very, very careful about shviyas, and they were not as careful about Shabbos. So, by Shabbos, they had to make gzeira, shogeg or tumezir. But by Shemitah, oh, in his shtot, they were very, very careful, as you can see from this story about the two guys ranking each other out, and therefore, Basrei the Rabbi Yehuda, Chamir Lu Shviyas, and therefore, you don't have to make Gzeira, Shogeg, or to Mezid in this situation, and therefore, there's no stira from this Brisa of Shabbos and Shemitah to the previous Brisas, and with this, we conclude today's shiur.